Gents, welcome to Wrestle Buddies, Geek's Best Wrestling Podcast, filled with wrestling, friendship, and wrestling with friendship. I am the Matt Elfring, and with me, as always, is the Chris Hayner. How are you, Chris?
Join the Dark Order, Matt. Join DarkOrder.com. I'm okay. It's been a weird week for us, which we'll talk about later. But, you know, doing as good as I can. Matt, I don't know if we talked about this yet? We're going to WrestleMania?
Oh, we have not talked about this at all. No.
Like, our travel is booked. We've spoken with WWE. We're going to WrestleMania. We haven't really talked about our official plans yet, but I can sketch through what I'm thinking we'll end up doing right now if you'd like.
Yeah.
Okay. So the plan is, first of all, there's a few podcast plans. A, we want to do some sort of like week, WrestleMania week sort of audio diary. Well, we'll just record bits throughout the weekend, and that'll get stitched together and dropped through, because one or both of us is bringing a microphone to Dallas.
I'm bringing my mic. That was my plan, to bring the mic.
Cool. We will also, in theory, have interviews with WWE superstars WrestleMania weekend to present to you on the pod. Not like you guys are used to us having, like, taking 20 minutes to a half hour to really dig into stuff with people. These will be like literally on the spot sort of interviews. So they'll probably be a bit shorter, but it'll be during WrestleMania week. We don't know who we'll get. But the plan is to share as much of that with you as possible. Obviously, there will be so much coverage on GameSpot because we're going to Mania Night 1 and Night 2. We're going to SmackDown. We're going to the Hall of Fame. We're going to NXT. We're going to Raw after Mania. We're going to, they don't have Access this year, but they have a superstore with Access elements in it that's at the same place as Access was. So we're going to go to that, and we're going to take a bunch of photos of stuff. We're going to share. So make sure you're following us on all the social medias. Make sure your eyes are all over GameSpot.com throughout WrestleMania weekend. Like, there's just going to be lots of stuff coming from us because, baby, we're going back. We haven't been to Mania since 2019.
We haven't been together in person since February 2020.
Yeah, I haven't seen Matt in over 2 years.
I got a special surprise, Chris. We're going to record together episode 100 of Wrestle Buddies.
Are we going to watch Beyond the Mat? Jesus. Are we going to watch Ready to Rumble while I'm there? While we're there? We're
together, we are going to watch Ready to Rumble. Then we're going to talk about it.
Do I need to add it to my Vudu account? Or is it streaming somewhere?
It is not streaming anywhere.
I will add it to my Vudu account.
Perfect.
This gives me a reason to buy it.
So I mean, honestly, two people.
I think I already bought it. I think it's already in my Vudu account.
I own it. So yeah, it'll be Matt, on the plane.
And honestly, Matt, this will be our first in-person recording together.
Second? Maybe third. My old podcast, we recorded two episodes together.
No, I mean, this will be the first Wrestle Buddies we record together in person.
Yes. In fact, the very first.
In fact, Matt, we're getting in on Thursday, obviously. Mm-hmm. The wrestling stuff doesn't start until Friday, and we're kind of taking a pass on going to any extracurricular wrestling Thursday night. I vote we just record that. We watch it when we get to the hotel. We order some food. We watch some Ready to Rumble, and then we record some podcasts. And that's a great way to kick off WrestleMania weekend.
Best way to kick it off is to do that. Very excited. Let's be real, a little worried about the coronavirus situation, as always, as you should be. Wear a mask. Very excited to see Chris and a couple other buddies.
Matt, I'm pretty sure COVID isn't real and it's just a thing we made up. So,
oh no, get out of here. I know you're not like most girls, but get out of here.
I'm not like most girls. I mean, I've only had it.
We've both had it.
And it was really bad.
Yeah, it was.
Wow. Bad. It's really interesting that that'll be episode 100, because episode one, you literally had COVID.
The first three episodes that we recorded, I had COVID.
Yeah. You are stronger than I, because when I had COVID, I didn't do anything because I couldn't get out of bed.
Chris, there was nothing I could do. We've been working on this podcast, developing it for months. And that was our launch date. We could not change it.
Yeah, they were very adamant. They were like, okay, we're going to do this day. We're like, okay, Matt, you got to tough it out, bro.
And we recorded those episodes in super advance, too, I believe. Yes, that's back when we didn't do it like 2 days before.
Yeah, now look, We do it when we can, and that's enough.
Chris, what do we got on the menu for today?
Matt, we got a bit of a tasting menu this evening. You haven't you haven't done the food pun in a while.
No, I haven't.
Have you noticed that? I noticed it last week.
Yeah, well, Chris, we got a delicious
menu. No, it's fine. Menu, Matt, we got a bit of a tasting menu.
This is a fine French restaurant.
Uh-huh.
There's butter on everything, but tell us what things we'll be eating with butter.
Snails. That's it.
Chris, this is a fancy hipster grilled cheese restaurant.
Matt,
tell us about the sandwiches. Matt,
this is a pasta kiosk in the Mall of America. Let me tell you about the menu this evening at the
Give pasta. Give me that clam sauce.
Clam sauce and Hulkaroos? I don't know.
Stupid.
Hulkaroo, Hulkaroo. So we have a couple of things going on today. Last week we had Lionel Jinx and Christina Diemfam talking about the launch of WWE 2K22. Now we're going to talk about it because Matt and I have been playing it a lot. So we certainly have some thoughts. Also this week, Cub reporter Chris Hayner here. I was on location at AEW Revolution. Which very timely happened 2 weeks ago. Look, we had stuff to do last week. And I have a lot of thoughts about AEW as my first time experiencing it in person. So get strapped in for Chris Hayner's On the Scene Hollywood Minute with Chris Hayner, where Cub reporter Chris Hayner goes on location to Hollywood's biggest events, like an AEW pay-per-view in Orlando, Florida.
Let's just get right into that, Chris.
Okay, so I went to Orlando, Florida to check out both AEW Rampage as well as AEW Revolution. Two shows, two different nights. I will say, and I'll get into Matt, how much time do I have?
45 seconds.
Perfect. I'll start in first with Rampage. What I didn't know is that they tape like 2 hours of Dark before you get to Rampage. And I would argue, like, Rampage was a great show, but I would argue I had more fun with Dark because, like, I got to have my Dark Order reunion. If you follow me on Twitter, the Dark Order had a couple of matches and they came out en masse. -1 was there. It was really good. And there were just some real banger matches. The main event of the Rampage was Christian Cage versus Ethan Page. Christian Cage versus Ethan Page. That's weird. Huh.
Cage versus Page.
Cage v. Page. Matt, time check.
Oh, hold on. 45 seconds.
Perfect. All in all, it was a long night. But I feel like it was only a long night because it was on the exact opposite end of Orlando. So I had to drive almost 2 hours to get there. Kicked off that day, by the way, by going to an early dinner at Planet Hollywood at Disney Springs in Orlando, where Chris Hayner witnessed in person the signed wrestling boots of one QT Marshall.
I didn't know that was such a hot ticket item that like that Planet Hollywood got their hands on it.
Well, so evidently QT used to wait tables there or something, or maybe dishes. That's I don't know. But it's not with the rest of the displays. It's literally in a glass box next to the host stand. It's very oddly placed. It's like, we really want you to see these boots.
And you did see them.
I did. They're arguably the least impressive piece of Hollywood memorabilia in the restaurant. Like, there's a stormtrooper costume there, an actual stormtrooper costume. Time check.
Oh, geez. 45 seconds.
Perfect. It was a big night. It was a long night, but it was a good night. And Matt, I will say, the big surprise for me coming out of this show, and I came out of this show, not the next one, and I'll explain why when we get there, is that when I watch AEW on television, I find their pyrotechnics to be lacking. They feel reminiscent of WCW Saturday Night.
Yes.
In person, they work. It's really exciting. Matt, we've been to a WWE show or two in our years.
We certainly have.
It's lots of boom, and none of the boom is coming from the pyro you see. They have a secondary pyro station behind the screen that's just setting off the booms.
Yeah, so like here comes the boom.
Yes.
Ready or not, How you like me now?
So AEW doesn't have that, but their pyro looks really cool in person. And like, what more could I ask for? So then did not go to FanFest. I napped on Saturday. That was cool. But come Sunday, I should note, Lord Pumpernickel came with me to Rampage and wanted to be on this episode, but is busy having a life and a job. Time check.
Oh, jeez. God, I'm not keeping track. 45 seconds.
We're yes. Good. Oh, I'm crushing this.
You're doing so
good. The Hollywood good. Minute is so good. So Sunday, unfortunately, Lord Pumpernickel could not accompany me, so I made the journey by myself back to the other side of Orlando. And Matt, the thing about Florida is every road is a toll road, and I still didn't have one of those toll road meter things, and it was becoming a real pain. So halfway through the trip, I stopped at a rest stop and bought one, and then getting it set up and getting money loaded onto it was a real pain in my butt. I'm gonna be honest with you. It was a pain in my butt, but I got it. And I got to AEW. First of all, press parking let me go all the way back. AEW, very good press relations. I appreciated how easy they made getting into the show. I will say the parking for AEW Revolution was weird because it was some strange nether lot that was hidden from everything. And I had a hard time finding it, but I found it. And then I got into the show. I got in, sadly, I got in a little bit too late. So I missed Hook on kickoff. And that
yeah, I know hurt. Because I was working at that time and I was
texting me and I was still walking around trying to figure out where to go.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I missed the Hook match. That bummed me out. I'm really excited about Hook, but I made it in time for like Evil Penta and Eric Redbeard and I think Pac versus the House of Black. But Matt, while it's sad that I missed Hook, joyfully, I also missed the House of Black's stupid entrance where the lights go out and the lights come back on, lights go out, lights come back on. I hate that. I hate it. So I'm glad I missed that. Time check.
Well, you've only done 15 seconds so far, so we got another 45.
Excellent. Yeah. This is perfect because I'm gonna plow right through the Revolution card. Revolution was a great show. It was filled with matches. However, it was filled with too many matches. I was so exhausted by the end of it, and then I had to drive an hour and a half home. If I had to guess my best of the night, my favorite of the night, I want to say it's probably the dog collar match, like just because like, God, that was a bit. Plus, we got CM Punk coming out to AFI and his old Ring of Honor style gear. We got to see him. I believe he did the Pepsi plunge from the top rope. Like there was but I will say uncomfortably bloody for this guy. I don't love copious amounts of blood personally. I was like, oh, this is a lot. Least favorite match is absolutely it was Sting, Darby, and Sammy Guevara versus the Hardy family, blah blah blah.
Chris, I rant about this on the review on GameSpot.com.
Wait, Matt, does this count against my time?
No, I paused the time.
Okay,
you'll still have your 45 seconds.
Okay.
I ranted about it in the review. The issue with it is it was a false count anywhere or extreme or whatever stupid no holds barred thing it was.
Yeah.
They split everybody in these groups. So like there's action happening at three separate places in the arena.
Yeah.
And there's always action happening. There's never rests.
Yeah.
So production has no idea where to go. Okay, the Butcher was there apparently and the Blade setting up tables. Maybe
Matt,
I don't know what was going on. Okay, Chris, we'll start your time. Go.
Okay. So as obviously it seemed like it was fairly difficult for you in terms of keeping track of what's going on. But at the very least, you had cameramen following each of these groups. Imagine being me in the section 118, I think, and not being able to see where in the crowd of people these people are. It was horrible. I'm glad the good guys got the win. I don't know how I feel about Sting jumping off the entrance tunnel through two sets of tables or whatever. Like that seemed like that seemed like not a great plan for Sting. Mm-hmm. But What can I do? It's not up to me. I'm glad that the Hardy family office stuff is kind of coming to an end, I guess. With the...
Yeah. Yeah. It's not good.
It's weird. But
I'm sorry. Chris, I cut into you a little bit there. I'm going to give you 5 extra seconds. That'll put you at 45 seconds. So
perfect. I also quite enjoyed Chris Jericho versus Eddie Kingston. I was genuinely scared when at the very start of the match, Eddie Kingston dumped Jericho on his head. I was like, oh, this isn't going to go well. What I didn't like, Matt, was what came the next Wednesday with the Jericho Appreciation Society. I did not enjoy it. It's essentially the Inner Circle all over again, just with blander people who aren't nearly as interesting. But that's besides the point. Hangman versus Adam Cole. Adam Cole in the Halo gear. First of all, I wasn't close. I was reasonably close. I had a really good seat, but like Cole, Cole, when he came to the ring, if you watch back the show, I think he got mixed up because he did not walk to the camera side, the hard camera side.
Yeah.
For his entrance, which is where he would go to like do the thumb and the boom thing. So he walked, and I've actually seen video clips of like the announcer in the ring looking confused when Cole walked to the other side of the ring. So he walks up and he gets up and he looks out at the crowd and realizes the camera isn't there. And then he slowly turns around towards where we were and does the boom. But like, I could tell still, even though he was a bit further away, that was a pretty dope Halo inspired costume.
It was very dope.
Which it's like, that's very good integrational marketing, since Halo is coming to HBO Max, a Warner Media property. Oh, wait, Halo is actually coming to Paramount Plus, a competitor. But that's besides the point. Let's see what else. Matt, it was just a good show. People were vibing with it. I will say, wait, I'm sorry. Can I one last time check? I feel
you
like
you got to hurry, man. You got to hurry.
Oh, no.
You've only got 45 seconds.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'll get through this quickly. Yeah. So, as you know, my biggest gripe about AEW is it won't shut up about WWE. Mm-hmm. And that continues in the live experience. Before Rampage, Justin Roberts, first of all, a little too like playful and cavalier with the audience before the tapings start. I'm like, I get it, but like, you're not the personality, you're the announcer. Let's keep it profesh. Mm-hmm. But like, he made a crack or two about how like, the referee did something, and got a look on his face, and Justin's like, oh, don't worry, we're allowed to have fun here. Like stuff like that I find very silly. Also, during Rampage, it carries over to AEW's hardcore fans, because so many of them around me were like, while cool matches are happening, are just talking about how lame they think WrestleMania is going to be. I'm like, bro, look where we are. Just embrace what you're doing. The thing about wrestling fans, I feel like now, is that like so many of them feel like they have to choose a side.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't. Just love wrestling. That's enough. That's all we want. That's what we all want to do. We just want to love wrestling. Yeah. Anyway, that's my report from on the ground. And then I will say, Matt, of course, as you know, invited members of the media after pay-per-views get to attend a post-show scrum with the AEW talent. However, it was midnight and I was tired, so I listened to it on my car while stuck in the parking garage. And here's some things I learned. Tony Khan is very excited about buying Ring of Honor. CM Punk cried a lot during his interview. He's very emotional about the night, which I understand. It was a very cool night for him, but he got to revisit his roots. He is excited about Tony Khan buying Ring of Honor. And William Regal is here.
Yep.
That's Chris Hayner's On the Scene Hollywood Minute with Chris Hayner, starring Cub reporter Chris Hayner.
And time's up. Oof. In there, just in the nick of time. Hey, ooh, hold on to Chris.
What's up?
The scrum. You said you were in your car watching that, but isn't that something that's kind of closed off to
No, Matt. Several members of the media just stream it on YouTube, making it utterly worthless for me to cover. It works for them. And like the content of the scrum is good. There's good information in there.
Yeah.
And good commentary on the event they've just wrestled in there. So that's cool.
And we're real timely bringing it to you a week and a half later. Anyway, let's before we talk about WWE 2K22, let's go pay some bills. Chris, we've been living for over a week now with a little game called WWE.
Living in America.
It's true. Yeah. We do live in America. We've had WWE 2K22 for a week. I feel pretty good. I still feel like I could play it a lot more to have a better idea of the game as a whole. But I feel we're both probably at a point where we can talk about it pretty well.
Yeah, let's start by discussing just a quick breakdown of some of the DLC we're going to be getting. Because we mentioned it in last week's episode, but it wasn't announced by the time the episode published, so we couldn't actually include those people. The big one for me, Matt, is Mr. T, obviously. Mm-hmm. Mr. T and also Logan Paul, because I just want to beat up Logan Paul.
I want to put him through a table like Kevin Owens did.
Over and over and over.
Oh, sorry, that's Machine Gun Kelly. Apologies. Logan Paul, I don't know.
Kevin Owens stunned Logan Paul.
Kevin Owens powerbombed. Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens beats up celebrities. My brain is muddied as hell right now. Kevin Owens. I just want Kevin Owens to beat up celebrities, except for Mr. T. Mr. T will only fight Roddy Piper at WrestleMania 2.
We'll have to create the WrestleMania 2 arena.
Yeah, it's not in there, so I can't. And we'd have to also make a boxing match.
Well, we'd also have to give them boxing attire, but I think that's doable. But yeah, so like we're going to get the like over the course of the various DLC packs, you're going to get Doink the Clown. You're going to get Stacy Keibler and the Hurricane and Mr. T, Logan Paul and Machine Gun Kelly, Yokozuna. Man, I don't even remember who else. Like, oh, L.A. Knight from NXT 2.0.
Hey, editing Matt here. There's a lot cut that's not funny. It's just us talking about the DLC for WWE 2K22. It's not great. That's why I'm here, to cut it out, so it's just not 10 minutes of dragging. Anyway, show, get back to it.
We should probably review the game.
It's been half an hour. We haven't even gotten into the review.
Matt, well, that's impossible. The Hollywood Minute only took a minute.
We've been talking about DLC for
29 minutes. Yeah, let's talk about, okay, overall impressions so far, go.
It's the best game that 2K has put out. It is one of the better wrestling games as a whole of all time, possibly.
Okay.
I'd put it top 10 for sure. Where in that top 10? I don't know. I'd really have to reevaluate that. There are... My most major issue with the game is that it is an entryway to another game where, yes, there are some great new modes, great new features. Not everything is fully fleshed out as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they had a year and a half to completely redesign the game. I don't feel like 2K gave Visual Concepts enough time to completely re-envision the game, like 100%. Because I'm sure 2K and WWE wants a schedule going of games being released. That being said, with the time that they had and their team, this is the best looking game. The gameplay, the redefined controllers and reconfigured controllers actually makes a ton of sense to the people that complain about GM mode. GM mode in this version, I think I might like better than the old games, except for the fact that you can't. There's a couple things we talked about before. I would love tag titles and like IC title or US title. I'd like to be able to select the arena and the show. I would like to have a few more matches. But aside from like those things, I love the way they kind of re-envision GM mode with power cards and picking arenas and having to do tasks every week and screwing with the other shows when it actually works. In the old games, you screwed with the shows, it never worked. This time it actually does work. So I do love GM mode. This is the only time in 2K's history I've cared about a career mode. Career mode has been notoriously, I'd say, awful the entire time. Whether it was running backstage between people nonstop or Remember, like, was it 20 or 19 where, like, you went into Matt Hardy's Woken world and...
It was 20.
It was so bad. I actually like the fact that this is a non-linear story. You have tasks that you can complete on each show and go through it at your own pace. I don't understand faction mode at all. I haven't really dug into it because servers keep going down because it is a new game, and that's how servers do. What else have I not talked about? Creation Suite is perfectly fine. It's the same. No. I'm talking about Creator Wrestler, Chris. Chris is making the face like, no, advanced entrances aren't there. Yeah, they're not there.
Yeah, that's part of Creation Suite, Matt.
I'm talking about Creator Wrestler. Just talking about Creator. But that's not break it for me. Like, if I can create an entrance, that's fine for me as a player. Advance not being there isn't breaking for me. I think it was WWE 2K15, maybe 16, that like completely stripped Creator Wrestler of almost everything and made it. It was awful. That broke it for me.
I think you mean WWE Battlegrounds.
No, I'm talking about it from the 2K line. Battlegrounds was bad. Battlegrounds was so much fun for like 10 minutes and then you never went back to it.
Yeah.
This is 2K22. This is the most I've played a new game in a while. I just mean a new game in general. Like I keep going back to it over like other things I kind of feel like I should be playing. I want to play it constantly. That's a good sign. I love making wrestlers. Chris and I have made so many wrestlers so far.
Hashtag GameSpot, hashtag WrestleBuddies in the search engine.
And it is cross-platform community creations. There are some hiccups.
There are some hiccups, but you can get your PS5. Like, if you're on PC, we created them on PS5, but you can still get them.
Yep. And we've got 20 people uploaded so far, I think.
Matt, I was looking at the list. Because I showed it to Lord Pumpernickel. I'll just hit you with some luminaries.
Yeah.
The Gentleman's GM.
I just want to note, guys, all the characters I created have storylines in my head. Mm-hmm. You should, if you are downloading Gentleman's GM, he should only be used as a GM. If you put him into matches, that's the wrong way to use him. That's all I'm going to say.
I would say the same for my GM, Jonathan Boss Person.
Which, Chris, please tell them who that is.
Jonathan Boss Person is the little known son of the Big Boss Man. He is also from Cobb County, Georgia. And you know what? He lives a life of hard times, but now he's a general manager. I've also created Jumpin' Jeff Farmer. Who just hates his arch rival, Motley Cruz.
I have not made Motley Cruz yet.
Editor Matt is in there. Tiger Force Matt is in there. The Lord Pumpernickel is in there. I created Lord Pumpernickel. Mm-hmm. Some of our favorites, Wowie Blaze It, Cool Adult, Hometown Hero, Austin.
Guys, Cool Adult's just a real cool adult.
He's a tech talk star.
He loves dabbing.
Yeah, he does. And then Matt had this idea.
Yeah.
This horrible but wonderful idea of like, what if I made dollar store ripoffs of known wrestlers? And that's how we get. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to give credit where credit is due. This dates back to SmackDown 2 when I used to play with Kurt. Hi, Kurt. You listen. He's actually one of the only friends that listens. Hi, Kurt. Kurt made this character Lukewarm Austin Stevens, and we just tried to make a deformed version of Steve Austin. I've taken that idea. I remade Austin Stevens. And I made him super deformed and he looks super weird and gross.
He looks scary.
And I just did that. I'm making dollar store versions of wrestlers. Like, you'll find an action figure in the supermarket at a dollar store and it looks bad.
Like, you so know, made, when you go action figure shopping at the flea market.
Yes. Yep.
That. And that's how we got. It's gotta be Kane spelled C-A-I-N-E. He's a yellow and black deformed version of Kane. And the alternate costume is an Undertaker American Badass version of It's Gotta Be Kane.
Well, it's the like 2000, I'd say 12, 14 version of Kane.
So it's ruthless aggression.
It's PG Era Kane.
Okay.
It's that outfit, but also, you know how like you buy it, you find a weird Batman toy from Mexico and it has like a Superman cape on it for some reason. Well, this one, it's got to be Kane.
This one has the Undertaker's bandana and trench coat.
Yep. Perfect.
And then there's China, spelled C-H-I-N-A, who looks like a zombie.
It's
a horrible zombie and just wants so badly to be Sasha Banks. It's like wearing, well, wearing it's, Sasha, you know, Banks merch.
Everybody knows that China's the ninth wonder of the world and also the boss.
What? They don't know that, Matt. So, yeah. And we've also created some arenas. You can see my Wrestle Buddies arena. You can see Matt's Wrestle Buddies arena.
We have a ref for it. James the ref.
James the ref. We're having fun. We can't actually use him because you can't create a referee.
No, but you can put him in triple threat matches and have him not fight.
Yeah, but there's still a referee in the ring. Is he just going to be the outside enforcer?
Two referees.
Is he the outside enforcer?
Also, SmackDown Hacker and Prediction About 3000 are there.
Yes, and SmackDown Hacker is a thing of beauty.
Prediction About and SmackDown Hacker I spent a lot of time on. Yeah. We'll say that. You did, but SmackDown Hacker looks good.
Yeah, yeah, he does. So can I give you my thoughts on the game now?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Oh, no.
It's a horrible game, Matt.
Oh, no.
How is this a step backwards from WWE 2K20?
Wait, you wanted a step backwards from 2K20?
No, that's what this is. I feel like I'm playing WWF Attitude on the Nintendo 64 or whatever, Xbox One or whatever. No, I'm kidding.
Do we just turn into typical wrestling podcast?
No, I love it. It's a lot of fun. As I mentioned last week in our interview, I feel like I'm having to relearn controls over again. And yes, there is a tutorial mode that I'm told is very helpful. Am I ever going to use it? No. I want the difficulty of figuring out the controls on my own, and that's fun. And I have. Like, it's a blast. Yes, there are things that I wish were a little bit more evolved. But it's so, so far ahead of 2K20, and the matches, I believe I mentioned this last week as well, the 2K and before them, the THQ games, had a very specific type of fighting and match flow, and they would constantly say, you know, we're evolving the engine, and we're making the gameplay and game flow better. It never really changed. Some controls changed. But like, that was about it. The matches play entirely differently now. They're so much more fast paced now, and that's exciting and makes it feel a lot more like actual wrestling.
And because you can have faster paced matches or slower paced matches, depending on how you play it.
Yeah.
That's the thing that helps, I feel, career mode move along a bit better.
Because it's also like, less loading screens.
Less loading screens, but also it's like, do I want to slog through a 12-minute match in old career mode? It's like, no, because it's just going to be all a bunch of cutscenes. Now it's like, person talks, you can play a match, you can have it be 15 minutes, 20 minutes, or if you're like me, I like to submit people immediately, 2 minutes max.
I would like a little of some cutscenes, though.
I think because we got so much cutscenes from the last game with Buzz, and you couldn't skip them, that I'm glad they don't exist.
That's fair.
I am a little upset that Ribby is in this game, but not in costume.
I love that. I actually thought that was a lot of fun.
All the characters from the last career mode are in this game, which is like,
wait, really? Is Cole Quinn in the game?
Okay. I haven't come across Cole Quinn. I've come across Magos Jr., Ribby, which is Chase. What's the girl with the double J name with the Karen haircut?
The one who dresses up like America.
No, that's Brooklyn Van something. She's in the game as well. I've faced her. So they're continuing storylines from the last career mode, which is kind of fun.
That's really cool.
Buzz is mentioned numerous times.
Good. As he should be.
Yeah.
Buzz is from 2K19 even.
Oh, wait, yeah. Maybe, yeah. Buzz is your character in 2K19.
2K20 was Trey and Red.
That's right.
And now you don't have a name in this one other than whatever you choose as your name.
I
will export him after I finish career mode. I have created myself an idealized version of myself for career mode. Unfortunately, the announcer name Chris E. Hayner wasn't available. So instead, In the world of the Wrestle Buddies Wrestling Federation, Matt, I will be known as Sugarfoot Chris E. Quickdraw.
Ooh. I'm playing the male one as a actor named Nicolo. Nicolo. My son.
Oh, that's right.
Designed the character, named him. It's a policeman. He doesn't wear the policeman's outfit anymore. But it's just a guy with a giant beard who's bald. And then I realized like 3 days ago, oh, my son just made me
and named you Nick
Nicolo. I'm not going to upload him. He's not really like a bad offering character.
It's weird. But, it's weird that your son made you as a, and was like, you're a cop.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to upload that. That's not going to be a part of the WB.
I don't know. It's a serious character. Maybe. I don't know. My on the women's side, which I'm playing that.
I have a serious character in Eric Roberts, and I expect That's him true. To be a part of it. We can have one serious character.
OK. All right. Yeah. On the women's side, I'm just fighting as a person. This is actually a serious character. The Ghost is just a Guatemalan MMA fighter, and she just beats the hell out of everybody.
That's
and she
awesome.
Looks so much. I designed the character, and then looking at it later, we were talking, she looks like Max the Impaler.
Yes, she does. I.e., she looks amazing.
But I like the face paint on her. She's got like this kind of like Mayan? Native American, like Central America type, like war paint.
Yeah, yeah. It looks very, very cool. We are loving it. We've both now have it on PC and PS5.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. I'm hoping by next week we'll be able to announce like when people can probably try to tune in to watch us on Twitch, or we'll have more details about it. But yeah, it's great, man.
We still have so many characters we have to make before we can run GM mode.
I know. I have faith in us.
Yeah.
I have faith in us. We have so much time.
I do have a 4-day weekend coming up.
You do?
Yeah, it's my birthday weekend. Remember, we talked about how everyone always takes their birthday off, and I have never done it before?
Matt, I don't have a choice. My birthday is a national holiday.
That's true. And then also, I have this Friday off as a comp day for working at AEW Revolution.
That's right. That's right. My bad.
So I have a 4-day weekend. I am just going to play 2K. And I'll paint some D&D miniatures.
I'll play 2K with you. I don't need to work.
So that was our half-assed review. We both like it very, very much.
I give it 8.5 out of 10 libraries.
Oh, that's right. I am going 8 libraries out of 10.
That's pretty good. Wow, I rated it higher.
Mm-hmm. It's a great game. I love it. I do feel that like people kind of get in the mindset it's 10 or 1. And anything below a 10 or a 9 is bad. And I just want to reiterate, this might be one of my favorite wrestling games.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
It's still, to me, it's still below the THQ Yuke's games or Aki games, but mainly because of nostalgia factor.
Yeah.
I don't know if those games are still good because, like,
I haven't played them. No Mercy and Mania 2000 are still pretty good.
I'm assuming that WCW NWO Revenge still holds up then.
Yeah.
Because that's like my favorite of all time.
That fighting system is just fantastic.
It's so fun. It's very like friendly to multiplayer with friends. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, thanks. Hey, so over this past week, our friend and coworker Dan passed away. You have heard him here on the show before. Yeah. I don't want to.
He had his own soapbox.
He had his own back when it was Mike and Mason and Dan's soapbox. When we had a bunch of weird segments on, like really, really weird repeating segments on the show, because we thought each show had to have 5 segments. This episode had 3 and it was too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fine.
So he passed away. We love him. I don't want to get too into detail, but we thought it'd be fun to kind of just play the Mike and Mason's and Dan's soapbox episode he was on. We don't do the segment anymore, but I'll just let you know what it was. We have somebody randomly come on
who doesn't care about wrestling
but has a wrestling story and just talks for 2 minutes.
Or doesn't have a wrestling story in some cases.
Like, who has been? Okay, so we've had Mike on, Mason did an episode. We had Mike,
Mason, Dan.
Tom Clancy?
No, we had Tom Clancy on for a full episode.
Did he do Soapbox, though?
Maybe. No, I think he just told us wrestling stories during his appearance.
Okay, I can't. Oh, that's right, because he was on camera for... yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, so look, we had Dan on back in year one of the pod, and Dan, self-professed not a wrestling fan, but grew up aware of the British wrestling scene because he was a British kid, and it was just fun. Dan was just fun. I love this guy. I'm sorry you're gonna have to bleep that, Matt. It's very strange to me that when something like this happens, like the only way I can process it is to write my thoughts down. And as I was writing things down yesterday, what I came to is like, there's this old adage of like, if you love what you do, it'll never feel like work. Mm-hmm. That's a lie. There will, regardless of how amazing your job is, rest assured, it will feel like a job. There will be points when you will hate it because it feels like a job. Mm-hmm. But like, if you're lucky enough to work with people that make those days a little bit better, like, you win. Mm-hmm. And I feel like our team, we have built, because our team is very small, as we've discussed before, we have built this fantastic little unit that like is good and supportive and on bad days can lean on each other. And I hadn't thought about Dan's like Dan was a huge part of that. It hadn't crystallized for me what his part of that was, though, until you said it. You said Dan was the heart of the team.
Yeah,
he was. Dan was just the over the top, like he just insane horror movie nerd who knew everything about horror movies and loved talking about movies, loved talking about music. Like he just loved being like a fan of stuff, and he loved writing about stuff. And there were so many bad days where we would all just jump on a Zoom together, the four or five of us back when Mike was here. And we would just hang out in Zoom talking about nothing. Mm-hmm. And it was perfect.
Yeah. So I guess I'll just give a little history. Like Dan came over to GameSpot. I don't know what year.
He's the first GameSpot Entertainment employee by a day.
He's the first GameSpot Entertainment employee. I came over the second day with the former managing editor. And for 6 years, because I'm in the central time zone, I work Eastern hours.
Yeah.
So for 6 years, up until Chris moved, Dan was the person I talked to every single morning. We would just chit chat, and like, it is. Dan talked a lot, and like, I just remember him in meetings, like jumping into the middle when we're talking about something and going on and on forever, and not in a bad way, because I loved hearing Dan talk.
Because he would also deliver, and he'd also like, if he had thoughts or information he could impart into something, mm-hmm. he was gonna let you know, and not in a like, make way, I'm coming through, but in like, first of all, he's British, so it was in the most absurdly polite ways.
Yes.
But like, and after all, you realize like, I feel like I'm in class, and I'm like studying under the learning tree of Dan the movie nerd. and I'm so thankful that he, like, over the last year, I would say, he got to show that a lot more, as he did so much awesome horror coverage, he did so many amazing galleries, but in the last I'm gonna say 6 to 8 months, he got to like stretch his legs into more opinion-based features ideas. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite things he's ever written, and like, honestly, everyone should go back and look for it now, is he wrote two pieces throughout the pandemic. or he wrote one sort of early in the pandemic when it looks like things were easing up, and then they were not, as we then learned. And they wrote one as theaters started actually opening about the evolving state of cinema mid and post COVID, and how it's led to the rise in streaming, and like going to the movies just isn't the same as it was. And it wasn't going to be the same as it was. And they were such thoughtful pieces from someone who clearly cared so much about the, like, the movie experience, however you can get it, that like I would, those repeat, like, they're the stuff we post. I like pretty much all of it, but there comes these times when there are things that we post where I can look at it and be like, I'm proud that we have this on our site, because these are interesting ideas that come directly from the person who put it together, who thought, oh, what if I just sort of like did an exploration of like what the evolving nature of film viewing is. That's an interesting topic, but it's one that like you have to really care about if you're going to pull it off properly.
Yeah.
And thank God Dan cared, because like he pulled it off so well. And he also did one about the like the evolution of horror movie trailers and why they'd gotten so bad.
That was
what really I thought, that I thought was really, really fun.
He was always like the best to write with during October and leading up to that. Him and I would just find ways to write about our favorite horror movies over and over again. We did a lot of horror galleries together and a lot of horror pieces together too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it sucks where you've lost a coworker, you've lost a friend, but at the same time, like, I wouldn't trade that. Like, knowing him, being friends with him,
God no,
not one bit for a hot second to take away like the unimaginable like grief that we're all kind of going through at this point in time. It's, I mean, we knew like this was coming in a sense, like we have been in contact with Dan a lot, and I think, you know, we talked to him and, you know, got to tell him how much I appreciate him and in a sense say goodbye. And I know Chris kind of had the same thing.
Yeah.
That
was very important.
It's the first time I've ever gotten to do that with somebody that I've been that close to that's passed away to me.
And then of course Matt and I coerced him into watching Netflix's Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
My chat with him is like this really long paragraph about how much I love you and like it's been great working with you and like I wouldn't trade it for the world. And then there's another chat of Chris and I right after that saying like, go watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Matt and I each had our own independent chat threads, and then we had the combined one that was all about conning him into watching Netflix's Texas Chainsaw, which if you haven't watched it yet, is a bad movie.
It's a movie about gentrification.
It's a movie where like Leatherface is the hero, which isn't the first time that's happened. Watch Texas Chainsaw 3D over the weekend, Matt. Leatherface is the hero of that movie as well, which is weird. And his little sister or whatever is Alexandria Daddario, which is cool. But that's besides the point.
I mean, it's.
Yeah, we're getting super sidetracked. Essentially, like, we love Dan. We miss Dan. And like, this gives us the chance to just listen to his voice again. Because why wouldn't we want that?
So we'll go out on that. That'll be what we'll know. Closing music this week. We're going to go out with Mike and Mason and Dan's soapbox. A stupid bit that is just, I tell people to talk and then we interrupt them.
Yeah, we're like, you have 2 minutes, and then we're just constantly interrupting them. I think I was most at fault for the interrupting people because I would have questions as it went on.
You would ruin their time limit, Chris.
Yeah, I would 100% just start riffing like, oh, Haystacks Calhoun. Yeah, man. So like, what about this?
So please enjoy our friend Dan, and we will see you guys next week.
Hug the people you love.
Chris, do you hear that? I think I hear footsteps.
Every time you ask me if I hear something, and I never hear something, and it's getting kind of obnoxious.
Well, we have to create this illusion that we're both in the same place and not spread out across the country.
Matt, we're not. You're in quote unquote Chicago and I'm in Southern California.
Chicagoland.
The Chicagoland area.
Thank you. It sounds like a theme park.
It's not, though. I've been there. Well, it's got a really cool train ride.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm hearing some footsteps and those footsteps sound like they're coming all the way from across the pond. Ladies and gentlemen, GameSpot's Dan Audie. Dan, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you, Matt?
I'm great.
How are you, Chris?
I'm also great. Dan, I am concerned that you walked all the way here.
It was a long way, but it's worth it for you guys. There's no other podcast I'd cross the ocean for.
Also very wet.
Yeah.
Very wet.
I had a submarine. I'm okay. I made it.
Oh, I thought you had like a biblical moment where you just walked across the Atlantic.
Now, here's the thing. I'm gonna throw some local comedy at Dan. Hey, Dan, was it a yellow submarine? What's
up?
Good.
Come on. That's good. That's good.
I know. Thank you.
It was. And it was Ringo's birthday yesterday as well. So.
Oh, happy birthday, fourth Beatle.
80 years
old. Hey, peace and love, peace and love.
Spoilers, my Xbox Live username is Ringo Starchild.
Beautiful.
So it's Ringo Star.
And the Starchild.
And Starchild.
Yes.
Okay, just want to double check.
Two of the greatest bands ever, the Beatles and Kiss, of course.
Mm. This is a time where we give one of our coworkers they can have 2 minutes to talk about whatever they want. We've explained the rules to Dan. Dan, you get 2 minutes. You get to talk about whatever you want within the world of wrestling.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I am.
Dan, here we go in 3, 2, 1, go.
So, I don't doubt for a second that I'm probably the guest who knows the least about WWE and associated American wrestling types that's ever going to appear on this show. I know absolutely nothing about it. I've never seen a match. I could barely name any current wrestlers. However, I did grow up in the 1980s in the UK where British wrestling was a big deal. People like Big Daddy, Giant Haystacks, Kendo Nagasaki, Pat Roach, these were all big names. When I was growing up as a kid, it would be on Saturday afternoon on TV. British wrestling in the 80s was very, you could see how it's related to WWE. It was still very theatrical. There were still backstories. It was just a little more low budget in a kind of slightly crummy British way that I've got a lot of nostalgia for. I don't think those names will mean anything to anyone under the age of 30, especially not if you grew up in the States. I was just talking to Chris before we did this. Pat Roach probably is best known for appearing in Raiders of the Lost Ark. I believe he's the large German who gets sliced up by the propeller blades. And beyond that, these names really, they exist back in the 80s for kind of nostalgic men in their 40s like me, who look back at that time wistfully. And it's kind of gone. I don't know what British wrestling's like these days, but I used to really, really enjoy that. I don't know how I'm doing for time. I'm going to mention one other quick thing related to this. I went to a great gig, or show, as you call it in the States, a few years ago to see Luke Haynes, who was best known for fronting the band The Auteurs in the 90s. He released a concept album in 2012 called 9.5 Psychedelic Meditations on Wrestling, and it was all about British wrestling in the 80s. He performed this gig playing songs from the album. He had a sofa on stage on which sat a man dressed as Kendo Nagasaki reading a British newspaper.
Thank you very much,
thing.
Dan. Very informative, and I really appreciate you coming on the show. Just great that you could just drop all that information on us within 2 minutes. Thank you very much for coming.
My pleasure.
Thank you for reminding us all about Giant Haystacks, someone who I actually remember.
Excellent. Yeah. Yeah. He was a big name. Him and Big Daddy, they were the two main men in British 80s wrestling.
What I love is with Mike and Mason, It was very much like a fandom type of like freak out about their favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, your 2 minutes was the most British thing ever. It was strictly informative. Yep. And that's it.
That's
it.
It was so proper. Like, it just felt right and sophisticated and good.
Excellent. I'm happy to live up to that stereotype. That's a good one to have, I think.
Mm-hmm.
As
absolutely.
A Brit. Yeah.
Thanks for coming on.
No problem, man.
And that was Mike or Mason or Dan's Soapbox.